Hey, everybody, Jimmy Warren here. Welcome to a brand new episode of Guitar Talk right here on GuitarTalkOfficial.com. What we're doing today is we're going to highlight what's going on this weekend in Kankakee County, Illinois. That's right. We've got Saturday, January 28th. I'll be hosting Jimmy Warren and Friends All-Star Jam at the Looney Bin in Bradley, Illinois. Now, what I'm doing is I'm bringing some past guests from Guitar Talk. That's right. So you know they're amazing players. We're bringing them all together in order to have a pre-party for the Illinois Guitar and Gear Expo, which takes place the very next day. Now, some of the people that are going to be here, I'm not going to name everybody, but some of the people that are going to be here that you don't want to miss is going to be Chuck Wendler. He's the guitarist, one of the guitarists for the band Blacktop Mojo, one of the hottest rock bands on the scene today. Absolutely amazing band. He is a tremendous player. You're not going to want to miss seeing him. Also, we have Mike Moseret from the band In Theory. Mike is also the director of North American sales for Sawtooth Guitars and the owner of Go-Go Tuners. Mike is a phenomenal guitar player. He's going to be here. Austin Moe from California, a young gun, man, flying all the way in from Sacramento. He is tremendous. He's played with some greats like Frank Hannon, Jared James Nichols, and many others. Also, Steve Scorfina, who is an original member and guitarist for the band REO Speedwagon. We all know that name. That name's been around for decades. Steve is another tremendous player. Also, some good friends of mine, Dave Torres from the Whiskey Fist band, and then also Larry Shera, who's a Grammy-nominated musician and engineer. He's going to be there, plus many, many others. It's going to be a great night. It's at the Looney Bin in Bradley, Illinois. Show kicks off at 7 o'clock. It doesn't cost anything. It's absolutely free to come in. It is a small venue. So if you want to get in, you better get in quick because it'll be packed before you know it and you won't be able to get in. Now, as I said, this is a pre-party for the Illinois Guitar and Gear Expo, which takes place Sunday, January 29th at the Kankakee County Fairgrounds in Kankakee, Illinois. It's about an hour south of the city of Chicago, right off of Interstate 57. Prime location. It's in the rural part of the city, just right on the outskirts of town. Lots of space. It's a 16,000 square foot facility. We've got so much going on. We've got a lot of great vendors coming in from all over the country, as far as Georgia and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Michigan, and well, just from all over. So it's going to be a great show. It's a buy sell trade show. So if you've got a guitar or an amp or some pedals or something that you want to sell or trade, make sure you bring it in. It only costs $10 to get in, and there's a lot going on besides the buy, sell, and trade. Now, I'm going to name a few of the vendors that are going to be there because, well, there's some really cool crap going on here, you know. So Newman Guitars is going to be there. Now, Newman's been around for a long time. They have Mr. Newman, the original Newman, was the guitar tech for Keith Richards. He built guitars for Keith Richards and Mick Taylor and went on to build them for Tom Petty. And well, today they build them for Billy Gibbons and just a score of others. I mean, they've been around a long time. You've probably have seen them in Vintage Guitar Magazine time and time and time again. They're going to be on hand. They're going to have five tables there. So they're going to have a huge display of historic pieces, prototype pieces, new pieces, stuff for sale. And you get to meet Jeff Smith, who owns Newman Guitars today. And you can pick his brain and take a lesson in history and just check out some really amazing guitars. Also, Greg O'Brien from Go Pedal Boards is going to be there. Now, I'm endorsed by Go Pedal Boards. I love their boards. The thing that I like about it is they add new technology to the boards today, so they can really do anything that you need them to do. Do you got to add MIDI? Do you got to add USB? Do you got to have lighting? Whatever it is, they can absolutely do it. And, you know, I think the website is gopedalboards.com. He's going to be there with a huge booth in that. And he's also going to do a clinic where he talks about the do's and the don'ts of how to set up and what to do when you set up your pedal board. So Greg's going to be there. Burt Guitars builds custom guitars in Indiana, down by Indianapolis. Everything's handmade in the USA and affordable. You and I both know that when it comes time to get a custom guitar, you're going to spend thousands. Nope, not with Burt Guitars. You know, you can get, as a matter of fact, you can get the Jimmy Warren Signature Telecaster. That's right, the Signature Telecaster for $1,200. So, you know, these guys, man, they'll take your specs and they'll build what you want. You know, so, you know, it's gonna be really, really cool. There's just so much. Play It Again Sports from Ohio is going to be there. Steve Scorfina from REO Speedwagon is going to have his booth set up with an array. I mean, just an array of stuff. I mean, all kinds of mandolins, banjos, you know, vintage guitars, new guitars, you name it. It's all going to be there. Scrap Grinder Cigar Box guitars are going to be there. Havana Moon Cigar Box ukuleles are going to be there. Oh, man, just so much happening. And so you want to make sure that you come down. John Michaels from The John Michaels Show. It's a podcast in Pennsylvania. He is going to be there doing interviews with the vendors and, of course, with the people that are there for the meet and greets. Now, the other part of the show is we do have clinics going on starting at noon until 2:30, excuse me, from noon to 2:30. And that some of the vendors are going to do demos on their products. They're going to talk about, you know, their products and their gears and give some tips and techniques and things like that. Everything from guitars to pickups to pedal boards. Steve Scorfina from REO Speedwagon is going to do a demo on his lap steel setup. It's going to be really, really cool. He is one hell of a lap steel player. So you're going to enjoy that. At the same time, at the Guitar Talk booth, if you come to my booth, there's going to be a handful of recognized guitar players that are going to be there. Jared James Nichols is going to be in the house. He's going to be there from noon to 2:30, shaking hands, kissing babies, meeting people. Come get an autograph, get a photo, do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Buy a CD, get it autographed. At the same time, Steve Scorfina from REO is going to be there. Mike Moserat from the In Theory Band is going to be there. Austin Moe from California, Young Gun guitar player, is going to be there. And so much more. Joanna Connor is going to be there. And so much more. It's going to be just an absolute great time. Once again, it's only $10 to get in. It's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that we're packing a whole lot in to this 4 hours and that. So, you know, but you're going to have plenty of time in order to be able to see everything in that and be a part of everything if you want to. And it's just going to be a great, great time. Once again, it's at the Kankakee County Fairgrounds in Kankakee, Illinois. That's Sunday, January 29th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Now, I'm going to share a couple of interviews that I did with a few of the people that are going to be there this weekend. The first interview you're going to see is with Jack Bensema. I hope I'm saying his name right. He is the founder of Scrap Grinder Cigar Box Guitars. In that, we had an opportunity to sit down and talk a little bit about his guitars, the history behind it, what he's doing, and what he's bringing to the show. And then right after that, you're going to hear an interview with Todd from Greenville Pickups. Todd is was at the last show, and man, he makes great pickups. I mean, doesn't matter if you're looking for PAFs, P90s, whatever it is, he's got it. He also has pro cables that they make, connectors and different things like that. So he's going to be on right after that. And so do yourself a favor, sit down, put your feet up, get a nice cool beverage, and enjoy these conversations with Scrap Grinder Guitars and Greenville Pickups as we celebrate and get ready for the Illinois Guitar and Gear Expo this weekend, Sunday, January 29th at the Kankakee County Fairgrounds in Kankakee, Illinois, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission's only $10. All right, here we go with Jack and Todd. There we go. How you doing, Jack?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm real good. I'm real good. Thanks for doing this.
Sure.
I wanted to find out why in the hell you're making cigar box guitars. And
there's this blues guitarist I listen to since like the mid 80s, Glenn Kaiser.
Oh yeah.
And I saw him play some cigar box guitars about 10 years ago, and that it kind of piqued my interest in it.
Yeah.
So found out he was giving a workshop on how to build them, and told my wife, "Hey, I'm going."
Oh wow, wow!
And so I just got addicted to it.
So, are you a guitar player? I mean, have you been playing?
Yeah. Somewhat. I mean, I'm more of a riffer kind of guy. I mean, I'll play some riffs, but like improvising is like beyond me.
Yeah. but you evidently you must have a fascination for guitars and a passion for it, or you wouldn't be doing it. How long have you been building the cigar boxes?
About 6.5 years now.
Yeah. And it was purely because you saw Glenn Kaiser that you decided to go down that rabbit hole.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the guitars that you make, are they all 4-string? Do you make 6 and 3 or?
I do a couple 3, but mostly 4s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to be able to get those other chords in there, move to those other chords easier than you would with the 3-string.
Right. Right. So, do you keep certain ones in stock? Do you custom make them for people? I mean, how is your, what's your
mom? I'll just like keep building whatever inspires me. But I mean, I do get some custom orders to come in occasionally. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, do you have any, are there any known players that I might know, like Glenn or something, that are using your guitars or playing your,
really, I've just had, like Justin Johnson and Steve Arby have like tried mine out, but really Glenn was the only one that had one of mine.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that he's got one in that. Right. I didn't even know Glenn was still around. I hadn't heard his name in a long time. And that, do you have?
He's probably been,
oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think he's been more of like doing solo and his little 3-piece, his blues band, mostly over the past 20 years or so.
Yeah. And where are you out of, Jack?
Manhattan, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're not far from me. I could throw a rock and probably hit you.
Probably.
My aim's not that good, though.
that's good.
That's cool. That's cool. So do you do these guitar shows all the time? Is this the first one you've done? Or
this will be my first one. A couple months ago, there was a guitar show up at Rockford, and I was like on a whim. I'm like, hey, let's go up and check it out. And I brought two of them with me, and I got a pretty good response from the other people there.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let's do this. Let's get into one.
Yeah. You know, there's I go around, I get invited to the guitar shows and that, and it's rare that you see them. I mean, every now and then you might see one, you know, or two, but you really never see anybody that has, you know, a whole booth gear.
Right.
And they're really popular. You know, people really like them. And that, as a matter of fact, here's mine.
Nice. That is a beautiful guitar. Yes.
This is the only one I got. The thing that's unique about it is, look at this. This pulls down and it holds your slide.
Oh, nice. Now, I like that.
My slide's not in there, of course. I was endorsed by a company called Nikita Guitars, and they made a thing of what he called hobo axes.
And there's only a handful of people that have him because he's not in business anymore. I think there's me and Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and Luther Dickinson from the Mississippi All-Stars and that. But I love him, man. When I first got it, I would take it everywhere with me. And I ended up buying a couple of more simply because they're just cool to play. They're just fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're glad you're going to be at the guitar show for sure, man.
I'm excited for it.
You know, there's another company, I think they're from Georgia, that makes cigar box ukuleles.
Okay.
They're going to be there too. So that'll be interesting, you know?
Sure.
And that.
Nice. Did you happen to know their name?
Oh my God. Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon.
Havana Moon.
Havana.
Yeah. I me and him actually just swapped guitars for Christmas.
Did you really?
Yeah. John Kelly.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Now he's from Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought, wow, that's really cool. Do you have any of them there with you that maybe you could show people?
Yeah. I've got this one here. That's the one I shared on the post.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. It's got the F holes in it. That's really nice.
Rod piezo and preamp on it. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow, you went all out, man.
Sure. So, I love the brick house boxes. They just sound great, like, acoustically.
Now, is it a cardboard box or a wooden box?
This one is wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take it you do both, right?
Yes. Yeah, I've got a few other wooden ones here. I'm mostly used wood, but I mean, there's some that are like MDF, that medium density fiberboard.
Yeah. Now, when you're building them, are you putting different electronics in each one, or are you using the same setup for?
Well, like this red one here, I've got the Rod piezo preamp, and then I've got some electric ones. There's one with a nice little wooden humbucker in it.
Oh yeah, really cool, man. So what's the learning curve of building one? Because, you know, in order to build a good guitar, it doesn't matter if it's a regular guitar or cigar box guitar, to build something that, you know, that a player really wants to play. And that is, you know, it takes some time, you know, to learn.
Yeah. I like to do the fretted ones. So getting those frets precise is like key on it. Yeah.
So what was the learning curve, though? I mean, how long did it take? How many did you have to build before you go, okay, this one's worth keeping?
Right. I would say probably around the 13th to 15th one, I was finally happy with it that I could play it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some, it's like, okay, yeah, it's fretted and stuff, but the action's high or the frets are just a little off. And no amount of messing with the bridge position can fix it.
Yeah. So do you feel that at some point in time you're going to go down the rabbit hole of building, you know, regular guitars, you know, like Strats or Tellys or anything crazy like that?
I have tried some solid bodies. Hang on, my dog is chasing a cat. Anyway, okay. I have tried solid body guitars. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still just a four string.
Yeah. But still, that's really cool. That's a three piece body, right? Or is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's Peruvian walnut here and then a nice curly maple in the middle. But then I just used American walnut on the back. So it's like a four piece body.
Now I see the two screws on the back.
Yeah. That's. My neck comes all the way back to about here.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. That's actually really cool, man. It's cool. What's the profile of the neck on there?
It's I guess a D they would consider it.
Yeah.
I just use a 5/8 inch round over bit, to round the neck out and then sand it the rest of the way.
Right. Now on your necks, on the back of the necks, are they finished or are they raw? They
finished. I put a finish on them.
Do you? You put a finish on them. Yeah. That's really cool. And so what do you use for, what do you use for the frets? You talked about the frets. Are they like medium sized frets?
Medium fret. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they're nickels. Now, what are the fretboards made out of?
I like to use, I've got rosewood, like a Bolivian rosewood, walnut. I've used maple and cherry. Some more exotic woods like Granadillo and Chechen. So, yeah.
So if somebody wants one, something specific, can they reach out to you and have you build it for them?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is this the only thing you do?
I work in construction during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's breaking a new brand of guitars into the industry is really, really difficult. So,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's cool, man. I've been on your Facebook and that. Do you got a website too?
No, just the Facebook page.
You're just using the Facebook. I've been on the Facebook and that. As a matter of fact, I posted a picture of your display, which looks really cool, man.
Thanks.
That's probably that construction world coming for you, right?
I'm always looking out for ideas on like how I can. Like, I just needed something that could fit on a table and display as many guitars as I could, where you could see the bodies and stuff. And yeah. It's like I've tried doing some shows where I just use like one of those 7 guitar racks, and I just got passed by it, and nobody would really stop to look at them.
Right. Yeah. Well, that pops. So I mean, people, sure. You can't help, you can't miss it.
Right. You can't miss
it. Well, I hope you do really well at the show. I dig cigar boxes, like I say. You know, I was kind of excited when you joined up and said you were going to come, because I thought, well, that's really unique, because everybody's going to have a Les Paul or a Strat, but not everybody's sure. Going to have a really cool cigar box in that. So
right.
So that's really neat. Well, I'm glad you're going to be there, Jack. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person in that.
Sure.
And I appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your time and showing us some of your guitars and telling us about them.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't wait till this weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if you know, but I'm hosting an all-star jam the night before, you know. I know Manhattan's, you know, only about 20 minutes or so, but
sure.
You're welcome to come on down if you're free.
Tonight. Yeah. I'm familiar with the Kankakee area.
Yeah.
It was my old stomping ground back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Well, I'm going to let you go, man. I appreciate it. And I will see you this weekend.
All righty. Yes. All right.
You take care, Jack.
You too.
All right. Bye. Oh, my God. Looks like a workstation.
Yeah. This is my home office here.
Damn. It looks like you really work.
Yeah, we do a fair amount of work down here. So I've had people look in the background and go, "Is this your is that your Ted Bundy studio or what?"
That's really cool. So how you been?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm trying to get my audio to work, come out of the right speakers here. So okay. How's that? Is that any better?
Yeah, you sound good. Sound fine.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but that's fine. I can hear you well enough. But no, we're doing well. Been a little busy here getting ready for the show next weekend.
Yeah. Does that help you out a little bit?
No, I think it's me here. Okay. Try that.
There we go. Yeah, I don't know. Can you?
Oh, that's I got it. Yep. I had to change my source here. I use a lot of Microsoft Teams.
Okay.
And so everything's tuned to that. So I was playing with Zoom this afternoon and I did not check the audio. As I was sitting here waiting for the meeting to start, I was like, there's this big want to check computer audio. I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. I should probably check my computer audio.
I've been using Zoom for well, this is the start of the fourth year. I've been thinking real seriously. There's another platform called Riverside that I've been thinking about going to, because then what it does is it captures, like, if your audio or if your video starts to warble, you know, your internet, it keeps the picture in the sound because it takes it right off of yours, as opposed to, you know, coming through So I've been thinking about doing that, because when I do interviews, like I just got done talking to a guy in Australia, and you know, that's one of those areas that, you know, I have a hard time talking to people in Australia or the Hollywood Hills or people that live in the mountains, and you know how that is, you know?
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. You get the internet access being a little wonky. So,
yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Greenville pickups. In that first, I want to know how the hell you went down this rabbit hole of building pickups, you know, because you got to be a nerdy kind of techie kind of, right? Or is that wrong?
No, you're exactly correct, Jimmy. So this all started back in 2002. My wife and I started Pro Cables and Sound. And so we have, for the last 20 years, been building high quality audio cables. And so speaker cables, microphone cables, instrument cables, all that stuff, snakes, malts, connects, all these wild, crazy things. So that gets pretty nerdy too. And we even do a lot of work for Lockheed Martin. So all of the flight simulators that they provide for our military, we make those cables. So which is kind of fun for us. We started doing guitar shows a few years ago, and we were like, hey, you know, it's really hard to make a living selling audio cables. We have side jobs and everything else. It'd be nice if we had some more products to offer customers that come up. So my youngest son and I, he's 21 now, we're talking. And we said, maybe we'll try making guitars. So we bought some kits and we started messing around with the guitars, and we were talking. It's like, well, how do we differentiate ourselves, right? Because there's lots of people that make really cool guitars. And so, well, you know, maybe if we made our own pickups or something, we could do something, you know, cool like that. And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. Well, we built a kit. I've got the guitar. It's hanging on the wall over the other side of the room. And we're not facilitized here at the shop here to paint. That's really what it comes down to. So if I paint here, the whole house smells it and it's not good. So we decided to really go into the adventure of making guitar pickups. So we went and got trained, went out to Gallup out in Grand Rapids, and we took some training classes to learn how that works. And Gallup did a nice job because they really go through the physics of what makes a good guitar pickup. And all the levers you can pull and the things you can do to make a pickup perform well. And well, I'm an engineer, and I'm like, oh, there's physics involved. Oh boy. Ooh. So yeah, right. Like, woo-hoo. So once we got that behind us, then we can, Joshua and I could sit down and go, hey, we want to have, you know, this nice warmth, but we still want this top end that's really, you know, really sparkly and got a nice bite to it. And so we were able to start dreaming up ideas, and then being able to sit down and look at the different magnet types, look at the different wire that's available, and really start to craft pickups that sounded really good and start getting to what we were after within a couple, three iterations. The first couple prototypes, as we were just learning, were, you know, I've got them on the shelf here, and I'm like, I put them in guitars. And I'm like, well, there was a lot to learn. And so as we got farther down that road, we really started to discover how to make things work and how to make things sound like we wanted them to. And now it's the art side, right? So I've got the engineer side of me is really, really digging, pulling all these levers, because at the end of the day, everything matters. The wire type, magnet type, how many winds, how tight you hold the wire. I mean, all those things add up to a different sounding pickup when you're done winding. And so now the art side of me is starting to enjoy the craft of it. So like me and you talked a few weeks back, hey Jimmy, I want to put up a nice set of pickups. And that, in fact, I could see it on the wall behind you, that flying V hanging on the wall. Here, check this out. I'll be bringing these to the show with me next weekend to give to you. So it's a set of pickups in here. So I talked to you as someone that's interested in a pickup design, and say, okay, well, what are you putting it in? And I'm in a flying V. Okay, cool. Well, those have some challenges to them because the body shape tends to be light in a resonance, right? So, okay. So geez. All right. So then what my favorite thing you said to me was, I play rock. So they need to be hot, but I also want this kind of a P90-ish warmth in the bridge or in the neck.
Right.
Okay, cool. So we start playing around, and I've got a set of pickups here that I'm going to bring them down to you. I can't wait for you to try them out. But the one of them is it's something that we're actually going to release this weekend for the first time. One of our first pickup sets was a Psycho pickup. I wanted this really hot, you know, think DiMarzio Super Distortion, right? This great rock sound and pickup. And so we finally, this is what Psycho 4 now. It took a few generations to get to where we had the balance of tone that we wanted, because it's really easy when you're winding a hot pickup to knock the top end off everything. And then you've got this, you know, sound and mud that just,
No
one wants to hear that when you're distorting your guitar. You want that power, but you want that sizzle and crunch and punch too, right? So, so that's what you're going to be getting next weekend, is a set of you're going to get a Psycho in the bridge, and then a yet to be named. So you're going to have the only one of these on the planet bridge pickup or neck pickup that was kind of a happy accident. We were messing around with we were really going after some PAF clone tones, and so I make a set. This is how this goes. Joshua and I will theory scape something together, and then we'll talk about what we think it's going to be. And then I'll come downstairs, and then I'll get some time, and then I'll get the winder out, and I'll get some bobbins, and I'll kind of wind something up. And then a couple hours will go by, and I'll go grab his guitar. Hey, give me a guitar. So he'll give me, he's got his Lucy, he calls her. It's his Gibson SG Standard. And so Lucy comes downstairs, and I'll take her apart and put a set of pickups in, and I'll bring it back up, and then we'll talk about it. So it's the first set of PAFs that came out. I actually put them in an Epiphone Les Paul, and they sounded great. But he came down and said, "Dad, I got to have a set of these, man. These are just too cool." And I said, "All right, very cool." So I made him a set, put him in his guitar. Well, they sounded great in a Les Paul, because that fuller body, and Les Paul's got a real loud voice, right? We all know
that. Right.
SG, the slab top, a little lighter voice. Not so much. So I put him in his SG. He's kind of like, the sound's okay, but I just, you know, it's lacking a little something. So we kept talking, and I said, "Let me change the magnets for you." Well, I didn't get to it. A couple days go by. He goes, "Give me those magnets." So he goes upstairs, changes them. Well, I can hear him in the basement where I'm at. His bedroom's upstairs, and I can hear him jamming away. Wow, what is he playing? Because it sounded killer.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he's got Les Paul, so he must have his Les Paul out. So I get upstairs, and he's playing his SG. And he goes, "Dad," he goes, "I think we need to name these." I go, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, these sound great." So he swapped out the magnet, and then he goes to the bridge pickup. Well, the bridge was just a little dark, and I said, "Okay." So, or the neck was a little dark, so I said, "Okay, I know how to take care of that." So that's what's in this guitar. You've got Gen 2 of a prototype pickup, yet to be named, I'll say, that's going to come, and we're gonna light up that. That really cool looking flying V you got hanging on the wall.
Oh man, I can't wait. I love that guitar. You know, Steve Lukather gave me a set of DiMarzio Transitions.
Yep.
When they first came out with that, and I dropped it in there, and it sounds okay. I mean, they sound okay, but I don't know. It just didn't have what I think it should have. And so it's been hanging on my wall right there.
Oh, no, that's a cool looking guitar.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome guitar. So I'm excited. So
after we talked, I went and looked up those pickups.
Yeah.
And then when I saw what guitar they were in, I know what you're missing. It's not as, it's missing some oomph, because it's just not as it's because that not as resonant body. So
right. Yeah, because I have a Steve Lukather Music Man.
Yeah.
And it's got the Transitions in it, and it sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't sound nothing, you know, they're completely different. So,
well, and we learned that really early. We have a friend of ours up here in Michigan. His name's Will Shea, and he builds guitars, Shea Guitars, a new builder. He's he works for a company that builds guitars, and he's kind of branching out on his own a little bit. And so we're talking about, you know, what do you want? And, you know, this and that. And he goes, "Well, I think I want this." And I said, "All right." So we wound a set of pickups for him. And he comes down, and he puts them in his, he's got an Epiphone Explorer. And these things sounded like mud, just sounded awful.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, man, they sounded great. I've got an old Ibanez ST50 I bought for like $250 off Reverb 3 or 4 years ago. Now they're going for $1,000. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, this is killer guitar and they sound great. This guitar. I'm like,
yeah,
dude, I mean, what happened? So we wound four sets of pickups and put them in four different bodied guitars and had him come back.
Yeah.
And it was stunning how much difference that body shape made.
Yeah.
Depending on the guitars. And we go through, you know, we use a lot of Epiphones for demo guitars because they're really affordable. The quality is decent. I mean, they're well built. They've got the right wood. You know, everyone loves Gibsons, but I can't afford to have a dozen Les Pauls around the house.
Right.
I'm just not made of that kind of money. I would love to, but I'm not. So we have five Epiphones instead, and then a few SGs and stuff kicking around. Yeah, but yeah. We really like. You know, we got some of these pickups gone, you know, developed with those, and they really started to sound really cool. We really started to see how much difference the body of the guitar made. Yeah, and even how, you know, if it's a set neck versus a bolt on and all those things, I mean, they all just play difference, and it really helps us understand what our customers are after and helps us steer them towards the right product. Because at the end of the day, someone's not happy with what they bought. I mean, that's no good. So.
Right.
We get people at the guitar shows come by and they're like, yeah, I really want to try this. I'm like, oh, hey, we've got an example guitar right here that's got, you know, this pickup in it, you know, so let's sit down and we'll play it and we'll tell them, hey, you know, if you're just not happy with it, let us know and we'll swap it out for something else. So, and they're like, oh, really? I mean, I don't want you to be unhappy.
Right.
So you're going to spend some money and we appreciate you supporting us. But at the end of the day, if you're not loving what you got, then, you know, and the same thing for you. You know, we're going to send some pickups home with you and you'll get us some feedback and you might go, yeah, not really the flavor I was after. It's to this or to that. And then I'll start to get inside of your head going, okay. Because I've heard you play. I remember when we first met, you were kind of sandbagging a little bit. You were across from us at the Indiana Guitar Show. And you were kind of sandbagging your ability a little bit. Then I saw some of your videos on Instagram. I was like, I wrote you. I was like, dude, you can play. You're like, well, yeah.
So, yeah, man. I'm a hacker. You know, a hacker. Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. And I'm a guy that, you know, just looking over here at the shelf I've got just pickups stacked.
I'm sure
your boxes of pickups, you know, I've got brand new pickups. I mean, people, you know, it's like, and there's so many options out there, but when you really start to think about it, I personally believe that it's best to go through somebody like yourself that would be willing to work with you and kind of shape it and mold it to fit you, as opposed to just go buy a set of Seymour Duncan hot rails, which are great pickups, you know, which are great pickups and that. But I mean, everybody uses those, right? Everybody uses the same damn things. I mean, even though there's a million pickups, I was endorsed by EMG for a number of years. Everything I had an 84 or an 85 or an SA in it. And that was it. You know what I mean? And everybody's using that, right? It's like, everybody and their brother's using it. You want something that's going to be distinct and so it's going to fit you and fit your style and your sound. So, you know, when people think that, well, if I go and I talk to somebody like you that, well, now that pickup's going to be, you know, really expensive because you're going to, you know, do it, you know, something special for me, or you're going to, you know, tweak it for me or whatever. And you realize that it's really not that far out of reach in comparison to what, you know, people are already charging for a pickup, you know?
You know, especially if it's not the right pickup, right? So then you end up falling in a rabbit hole of buying stuff again and again.
Then you end up with that shelf full, like I got right there, you know, just full of pickups.
Well, I have a shelf too. It's up over here. It's got a box full of, you know, I've been playing since I was a teenager and you can tell by how gray I am. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I don't throw out a lot of stuff. And so I've got pickups from over the years too that end up on the shelf, and it's like I don't really need to do that. But I was going to say here that, but you're right. I mean, when you talk to somebody and the cost that's there is very reasonable, because our philosophy is I got to wind these anyway. So whether it's coming out of inventory that I sell somebody, or if I talk to them and go, I'll write down the specs they're after, and then we'll make it just for what you want. It's the same. It's the same amount of work for me. It's not really
right.
So I don't mind doing the custom work for people, and because we don't charge any different for it.
Yeah.
And when people come to the show, that we get the same comments every time. Oh, I thought they'd be more expensive than this.
Yeah.
Because we're not really priced any much different than what you would go buy a Seymour Duncan or a DiMarzio. We're not bad business people. We do a little benchmarking, and we know what other people are charging. And we're trying to come in at a price point where we can eat. So my dad told me once, he said, never, if you're going to starve with your feet propped up.
Yeah.
Don't work your tail off and starve to death at the same time. That's dumb.
Yeah.
So if you're going to starve, you prop your feet up and you do that. So, we need to eat and, support ourselves and support my son here. So, but we try to come in at a good price point, and we work really hard on the purchasing side so that we can keep our costs down. So when I'm specking out parts, and we buy it, the best stuff we can get our hands on.
Yeah.
And I go after volumes because I know volume is king and all this stuff. So instead of buying onesie twosies, and I might sometimes buy five or six of something just because I'm experimenting. It's like we did some P90 sized pickups for a humbucker opening. So it's a P90 pickup that'll fit in a humbucker opening. And there's a lot of reasons architecturally why that doesn't work as great as everyone hopes it will, because there's the bobbins are different. There's a lot of things that are different. So I went and bought a few sets of bobbins and some frames and some pickup covers and made those for a friend of ours down in Mississippi. And it took two iterations, and he wrote back. He said, man, you got the mids where they needed to be. So now I'm looking back going, okay, well, first off, we got to name this thing. We still don't have a name yet.
Yeah.
And then we got to figure out how we're going to supply chain these parts so that we can make them and not have to charge a fortune for them. So right. when we finally get to a design, and we try to share as many parts as we can, because that all helps our volume. When the volume's up, then the prices can stay lower, and then everyone's happy. We get good product for our customers. It's a value for them, and we can still afford to have a happy meal every now and then.
Right. Well, I know you guys have what I would consider a good selection of pickups. It's not like you just have one style of pickup in that. But do you guys do? Or I'm sure you can do. I'm just wondering, because some people like to buy preloaded pickups for their Stratocasters and stuff like that. Do you do that as well?
Well, so this is what I tell people, because the carry inventory of pick guards would be nuts for us right now. Mm-hmm. So what I tell people is you pick out the pick guard that fits your guitar, and then you send it to us. So a lot of times you're buying this online, you just put us as a shipping address. They can ship the pick guard to us. We'll pre-assemble it for them. Put good pots. We use either Alpha or Bertolini pots, paper oil caps, excellent pushback wire. I mean, all the good stuff. And then I'll drop it in the mail and mail it out to them. So we do that for customers, and that works out real well. And the most important thing is they get the exact pick guard for their guitar.
Yeah,
it's the right color, because for me to cover the stock 10 different shades of perloid with an 11 hole or a 9 hole,
right?
I was just like, oh boy. Or even looking at, now I've got an SG in my lap here. I mean, there's at least three different sets of pickguard combinations, although you wouldn't do that with an SG. But I mean, you just look at the guitars and the combinations that are there. It really explodes fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, excellent question though, because we do get that a lot. People come and want to know if they can pick guard or if we have that available, and it's definitely doable.
Right. And so what's the next steps for you, Todd? I mean, you're making cables and those things, and you gave me one of your cable, and I actually like it a lot. I used it all the time. It's a great cable.
All right.
You're doing that, and now you're making pickups. So I'm thinking the next obvious move for you is probably pedals.
Well, you want to talk about another rabbit hole to fall in.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I want to do a real good job with the pickup. So it took me almost 20 years to get the next thing going after Pro Cables and Sound started. So it might be a few more years before we're looking at the next step here. But I get that asked a lot.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, you're going to start making pedals. And I'm like, I look around the show and I'm like, man, there's six other vendors here that are making their own pedals too. But I know it's immensely popular and it's another really fun craft because when you start creating this stuff and you're putting the parts together and you get done and it's like, wow, that sounds so good.
Yeah. And
it's addictive. I mean, it really is addictive. So we've still probably got, you know, 50 different more pickup combinations that we've got to get through yet. Including, you know, we just don't copy other people's work either. I mean, we do a lot of our very own designs that have their own unique flavor and sound to them.
Right.
So in fact, our Vertigo pickup sets, it's a monstrous heavy metal style pickup. But I went after the neck pickup on that guitar. And I wanted to make something that was going to be very musical and very different sounding from what the bridge pickup was. And we had some guys at this last show. They had visited us at the previous show and they'd come back around and I called them and said, hey, come here, you guys got to check something out. So they checked out the Psychos. I had some prototype Psychos there, Psycho 4s, right? And they loved those. They thought those were really cool. Yeah. And then these guys playing with the Vertigo pickup and he goes to the bridge pickup, to the neck pickup, and he stops and he goes, what is this? I said, well, that's the neck pickup. And he goes, and he's reading our spec sheet. And he goes, but it says it's only 6.5K. I mean, there's not enough DC resistance to be this hot. So, well, there's different ways of getting the numbers working, right? I mean, DC resistance is one thing, but it's not all of it. And he goes, I can't believe how clear this pickup sounds and how bell-like it sounds. He goes, and we've got this cranked up distortion pedal running into my Zelux amp. And he's like, he's ripping. I mean, these guys are great players. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go home and burn my guitars afterwards. but we're really trying to craft our own sounds too.
Yeah.
Because there's players out there that want a unique something that they can go and create their own music with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, I know for myself, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that I fiddle around with so much different stuff, you know, whether it's pedals or guitars or pickups or whatever, even, you know, nuts and pots and whatever it is, you know, because you can really go friggin' crazy with all this stuff. And but it's about creating. I mean, because think of it, it's like it feels like everything's already been done to death. You know what I mean? It's like, what do you do? I mean, when it comes to the type of guitar or the sound of a guitar or the type of amp, it feels, or even when you're playing music, it feels like everything's been done, but that's not necessarily true. You know, there's so much yet that, you know, can be done that it just takes somebody saying, hey, this is what I hear, you know, can we go down this path and let's see what we can do there. And that combination and when you really dial back, you figure out, okay, well, that's how a lot of these other companies are coming up with that, because they're sitting down with Satriani or Vi or whoever, and they're picking their brain and they're saying, well, I want to tweak this and I want to do this and I want to take this to the next level. And, you know, and then the whole world freaks out. Oh my God, that's so good.
That's right.
And everybody goes out and buys it and they realize, I don't sound nothing like him.
Well, and we joked about not doing single coil pickups for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I said, well, everyone wants to sound like Jimi Hendrix. And well, nobody is. So it's really hard to make pickups that sound like Jimi Hendrix because none of us are him. So,
yeah. I don't mind. Say I've got guitars that got, you know, single coils in them. And it's got its purpose in that. But for me, a PAF and a P90 are the best way to go personally, myself on that. I love the P90, you know, more so than anything else, simply because I know that's like a single coil type pickup, but it's got something different about it. I mean, it just brings something different to the table that is meatier,
That's right.
You know, and it's just got to, you know, you get a good P90, man, and you just, wow, you can't let go.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely right.
You can't go let go. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the guitar show next week. It's going to be a great time. Now, I don't know if you're going to make it to the night before the jam, but if you can, that would be great to.
We'll see what time we get out of Dodge here on Saturday. That'll determine whether we're going to be able to make it up there or not. We're almost 6 hours away, so we got a little bit of a drive.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a drive. I just got hit with a bomb the day I went out to the fairgrounds where we're having it, and the last time I did it, I went in on Saturday morning and set the show up. Well, they've got an event going on in that building until 11 o'clock that night. So after we do the jam, then I'm going out there, you know, and I'm going to set that thing up. That'll take a couple hours and that. So,
all right. So I need to show up with a cup of coffee for you.
No, I don't drink coffee, but I appreciate that. I do. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. I'm glad you're going to be there, and I'm excited for the pickups. I am. I'm excited
for you to get them too.
I'm excited to be able to play this guitar, you know, again, the way I want to play it. You know, put something else up there on the wall.
Well, you keep it up there and you put something else up there, then I'll start thinking about what that needs next.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Well, Todd, I appreciate it, man. And I'll see you next week. Okay. Good chatting with you.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. We'll see you, man.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those conversations, learned a little bit about what they're doing and what their companies are. We hope to see you at the Illinois Guitar and Gear Expo this weekend. And also, don't be afraid to pop in to the Jimmy Warren and Friends All-Star Jam Saturday night in Bradley, Illinois at the Looney Bin at 7 p.m. That's only going to go from 7 to 10. It's going to go quick. So get there early in that. And I will see you this weekend. If you're there, make sure you come by and say hello, right? That's what you want to do. For more information on what's going on, you can go to the IllinoisGuitarExpo.com. And of course, if you want to see the schedule for Guitar Talk, because we've got some great people. We've got, I think Frank Hannon is next week. We've got Eric Johnson coming up, got Michael Schenkner coming up. We've got Ted Nugent coming up. We've got Joanna Shaw Taylor, Anna Popovich. We've got so many great people coming up on Guitar Talk. So for that, you can go to GuitarTalkOfficial.com. I'm Jimmy Warren. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you this weekend at the Illinois Guitar and Gear Expo.